Fresh out the box. Stop. Look and watch. Ready yet? Get set. It's the special G1 Climax final show. Live as a beehive and fresh as a hornet's nest. It's, you know, this show ain't even live and that sure ain't fresh, so yeah. What's up, guys? It's your good buddy, the sky blue hot-blooded young man, podcast tuxedo mask, still looking for his Sailor Moon, and the Yoshihashi of MLW. I'm Dylan Harris. And remember, it's not the Eastern Lariat. This is about pro-res indeed, but it's never the Eastern Lariat without both me and my main man, Strigger. This is in memory of you, buddy. With that said, you know what this show's all about. I'm going to breeze through some memorable matches from the last three nights, you know, picking up where me and Strigger left off on the last show. Get through the final show, maybe even run down some awards at the end. No plugs or anything like that this week. We're all already moved, unlike the last time I did my solo show. I got a lot of great reviews for that. Really appreciate it. And hopefully there won't be any crazy tangents this time. You know, I can't make any promises on that note. But let's go ahead and hop to it, yeah? So starting off here, we hit night 16 of the tournament here. And the first match I would recommend would be Katsuhiko Nakajima versus Kenny Omega. And I really love the storytelling of this match, especially from Nakajima. At one point there was a suplex on the floor, and Nakajima really sold his head and neck well. And this was just really great storytelling, and this was the opening match on that show as well. So you have to keep that into context on this match. In the end, Omega ended up finishing it off with the One-Winged Angel, his finisher. I'd really recommend watching that match from Night 16. Another match that I think was really good from that show was the main event of that show, starting from the first, going to the main event, obviously. Big Mike Elgin. I'll be talking about him a lot later. As well as Tomoaki Honma. This, to me, was the first performance where Honma really gave me the performance that I wanted from him this whole time. He really showed a lot of heart, a lot of passion in this tournament, in this match, rather. Then some of that was missing in this tournament, from just in terms of the reactions. This was a classic Honma-style match, exactly what you wanted. To me, I just loved everything about this. When he missed the Kokeshi, after he hit the pillar crash, his sit-out pile driver, the crowd just wanted Honma to win so bad. Big Mike, to me, was a huge standout in this tournament. Like I said, I will talk more about it later. But in this match, I thought it was a great way to end the show. Big Mike got the win. It crushed the crowd. I kind of wanted Honma to win myself, but Big Mike totally deserved it. But to me, the match of the night on night 16, really disappointing match, in my opinion, between Shibata and Nagata. Shibata's another person I'll be talking about later for a bunch of different reasons, but someone who I'll also be talking about, two people, in fact, Tetsuya Naito and Yoshihashi. This, to me, was my favorite Naito match of the whole tournament, and one of Yoshihashi's best. To me, Hashi just totally came right at Naito. You know, there was a great struggle in Yoshihashi's butterfly lock, hereby dubbed the Rolling Taco, where he drugged Naito back in the center of the ring. Naito had to fight, showed great fight here, and eventually there was a part where Naito hit a German suplex, but Hashi popped up with a classic fighting spirit cell, and Naito ended up, you know, hitting a bunch of his big moves. But in the end, Naito hit the Destino to get the win. Obvious result, this put Naito in control heading into the last day of the tournament. And Yoshihashi is just so popular with fans right now. He's super over. They want him to win. They actually believe in him because he scored some big upsets earlier. I thought he was booked very well throughout this entire tournament. Naito obviously came in strong. And Yoshihashi put in another awesome performance. Naito, I think, has really came into his own. I think this tournament has been the best collective work of his entire career. I was never a big Naito fan when he was the next ace, you know, as a babyface, all the way back to 2011 when he made the finals of the G1. I thought he was actually pretty overrated. And when he came back, I had a lot of hopes for him to be the next guy instead of Okada, who I was already getting tired of by 2013. But that didn't really work out. And this Ingobernables stuff, I'm not a big fan of the run-ins, as you guys know. But this tournament, he's been awesome. From then on, we went to Night 17, which was one hell of a show. I had to talk about this because a lot happened. So, Sanada and Hiroyoshi Tenzan was a must-watch match, and not for anything to do with this match. First off, Sanada won, obviously, and that's great. But the problem is that this match could have meant so much more to me if Tenzan had still been around. I'm so convinced Tenzan should have been booked so much stronger. And he is broken down. We talked about this last time. There's no doubt about it that he is not the man he used to be. And by the end of this tournament, just looked real, real rough. But the crowds believed in him, even after he got eliminated. Even after he was eliminated, the crowds still believed in him. And I just couldn't believe it. But Sanada scored with the This Is It, or the Skull End, rather. That was his indie name, with the Dragon Sleeper. Tenzan tapped, and the story a lot of people are saying they told is the, you know, kind of like the last stand, pretty much, for Tenzan, and that's great and all, but I just think this win could have meant so much more for Sanada. I think that would have been a great moment, a great, you know, notch in Sanada's belt, and Tenzan, this crowd would have been so huge into Tenzan, and they were anyway. But regardless of what I think of that, Tenzan tapped out. This was the end of the line. He finished at the bottom of the block, which man, that's just really bad. But there was an amazing moment that happened after this match. A lot of people had predicted that Kojima would turn on Tenzan for being a loser and all of those such things. Even my main man, my regular co-host Striga, said he would feel this way. But, you know, in reality, if something like this were to happen where I was picked for some sort of podcast tournament, and I gave up my spot for Striga, and Striga just did terribly, blew everything, and lost, I would not turn on him and hate him for this. Obviously, we know he would. If the shoes were reversed, he would disown me as a co-host and as a friend, maybe even attack me. But not me. I would be supportive, and I would be there for him. And that's what we saw with Kojima here, with Tenzan. There was just a great moment where these two embraced. To me, and Tenzan was crying, bawling out. The crowd loved this. This was a great, great, great moment. Just, I'm so happy. And I loved this idea at first. You heard this on the show, that of Kojima turning on Tenzan at the end. My idea was for him to cost him the tournament. But in hindsight, I'm so happy that they avoided doing that, because this was a real moment. And if Kojima had attacked Tenzan, yes, it would have set up a match. You know, one last big match for Tenzan to have a hero's kind of finish. And it would have given Kojima some juice, but this moment is 20,000 times more memorable and more realistic. I just wish that this had been more overall. I'm so disappointed with the booking. This is really my one complaint of a tournament I think was pretty dynamite by the end. This, to me, is still a downer. I'm just thinking about it right now. But the point is, I'm so glad they had this moment. It was just a really heartwarming moment and a great moment, I thought, and one of the highlights of the tournament for me, despite any sort of booking flaws, it all worked out in the end for Tenzan. Another match that I really want to talk about was the semi-main event of the show. After Fale had lost to Tama Tonga in a really good match, or a solid match, Tonga got a great win representing MLW well. Goto, Hiroki Goto, and Naomichi Marufuji, they worked so hard to have such a great match here. And a lot of people, obviously by the end of the show, were just raving and raving about the main event. But this is a bit of a hot take I'm about to lay on you guys. I think at the end of the year, if we rewatch some of these matches out of context, I'm not convinced this wasn't as good or better than the main event itself. These two worked so hard. And Goto had just started to really, you know, get kind of a push. We saw his main event promo against Togi Makabe after winning in the main event. That was his first one that he got the entire tournament, his first show-ending promo. Marufuji has been very well liked by many in this tournament, and they really fought hard to create drama in this match. I think a lot of people thought Goto would win here, obviously because it set up the story of the main event, but there was a lot of drama. They really worked hard, and I think that's the sign of a great match when you have every reason to not buy into near falls or anything like that, but Marufuji really felt like he could win here. I thought this was actually a really strong match. I bet it'll be underrated by the end just because of the main event. And speaking of the main event, this has to be talked about because, not as a match, but just as a spectacle and as a moment, this had to be one of the most fun experiences as a wrestling fan this year and in quite some time. This was 30 minutes of pure unadulterated drama. And another point is, I was talking to Jesse at Pesky on Twitter about this, and she was telling me how the English commentary just, the subtlety hammer was pounding away that the draw was a possibility. It was coming. They were basically telling you this is going to a draw. But the excitement on Twitter, it cannot carry over unless you watched it live. You know, I really believe that. Or at the very least, unspoiled. But you still won't have the experience of everyone watching along live with you. And it was such a great experience for me. The excitement level on Twitter wasn't even bananas. It was banapples. People were rooting for Okada, rooting for Tanahashi, rooting for the draw for Goto like me. It was totally epic. The finish of the match came after so many things happened that I couldn't even try to explain. But Tanahashi ended up countering the Rainmaker, hit a sling blade, and hit two high-fly flows. And it was perfectly done. At the two count, the bell rung for the time limit draw. Okada, and they did a great job making sure Okada kicked out, too, to make, you know, letting you know that he would have kicked out regardless of the draw or not. These two have a built-up rivalry, obviously, over the years, but even in this tournament, they're still pushing this issue of who's the ace. This, to me, was an amazing spectacle and an experience for watching wrestling. I cannot overstate how much fun I had watching this. This, to me, is something that I'll be remembering for a while. To be fair, though, in terms of a match itself, there was some sloppiness. You could criticize stuff like selling and whatnot, and that's totally fair to me. I'm not one of these guys that gets all riled up over that, you know, because those are parts of wrestling too. Perfectly legitimate criticisms can be made on those. But just for me personally, this transcended all that and became a spectacle and for sure one of my favorite matches of the tournament and of the year. So, and the crowd really loved Goto getting the win here. It made me happy to see him so over. The crowd was super behind him getting the win here, and it felt right. It was the right call to put him through here. And after everything that Goto's been through this year, how great is it that even still he overcomes? That's one of the things I love about Goto most, is that he overcomes even when they crap on him and crap on him and crap on him. The crowd still wants, they want to believe in him. They want to love him. And I really believe they have a winner if they do go all the way with him at some point. But regardless, night 18, let's start off with another gripe. perhaps even worse than Tenzan's booking. I apologize to Strigger here, because he always says Yano's not that bad, and he's not good either, but he's not that bad. I hated Yano by the end of this tournament. I thought he was easily the worst person of all 20 men. And I cannot believe he beat Yoshihashi on the last night. On night 18 here. Why? Why would you do this? What purpose does Yano beating Yoshihashi serve other than to make sure everyone knows that Yoshihashi's still the low man in Chaos, despite his fan support, despite his great performances, despite him even getting big wins? That's the message that was sent at the end of this tournament, is that Yoshihashi is the worst person in Chaos. And it irritates me to no end to think that that happened. There's no reason for this at all. And Yano finished with 10 points, one of the best records of the block. I don't know why. I don't want to see it. I don't ever want to see it. Why was this not the shooter? If you remember my last solo cast, I said a shooter should be in Yano's place. Give us 5 minutes of submission wrestling or whatever. It could be legitimate. Guys can lose and it won't be a joke. And stupid crap like this won't happen. And when people criticize Gato, this is what people point at. Because I really think, I don't want to say that it made some sort of big difference to Yoshihashi's future. Because if they want to get behind him, they will. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying if they try to get behind him, like, fans will reject him because he lost to Yano. That ruins everything. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying this signifies that they don't really give a damn about Yoshihashi's great G1 or how, you know, or anything like that. Anything he's done or his popularity. I don't think they have any big plans for him, even though I think he deserves it. I think he should have it. I think they've caught lightning in a bottle with him in this tournament. I think he's very underrated coming in, and I feel strongly that they should push him to some extent. They need to test the waters, I would say. That's how I would place him right now in terms of a singles run. Because there's no telling how far he could go. You know, you just don't know what takes on, what catches on, what takes over. And they need to see, and this sent a clear message to me that that's not in the cards, and it really, really bummed me out and disappointed me for this whole thing. So I actually wasn't as in love with the last two matches, I'd say, as many, many people. And that probably played a role. There are other factors as well. Katsuhiko Nakajima, Big Mike Elgin, again, Elgin was awesome. Nakajima really stepped up his last match. I thought he needed it, to be honest with you. And they just brought it here. There's really no way around it. Big Mike, to me, had one of the most consistent G1s. Like I said, I'll talk about that more later. And Big Mike was still in play here if he had won. He would have been able to force a three-way tie. I wanted that in both blocks. I wanted a three-way tie, but somehow or some way, just to give us semifinals. I miss semifinals so much in these tournaments. We need more semifinals. That's all there is to it. And I hate that there isn't one. So anyway, Nakajima ended up hitting this really. It was a big struggle, and Nakajima hit the brainbuster for the win. I thought it played to both men's strengths a lot. And I just, hopefully, we'll see more. Because the one problem with Elgin is he didn't really have a storyline or anything of that nature. He really kind of felt like a mid-tier player. But in terms of his wrestling, I thought he did a very awesome job throughout. Nakajima will have a storyline coming up, as we'll get to later. And he really came along. The first half of the tournament, I was actually kind of down on his run. I thought I expected a little bit more. But he came around by the end. He was almost like the reverse Nagata, who started out hot to me, but fell off as the tournament came around. Nakajima had a really strong tournament. Made a lot of new fans, too. I know this for people who aren't normal viewers of NOAH. The main event, Tetsuya Naito versus Kenny Omega. The match to determine the block at this point. Both men were tied. Just an incredible match. So many things here. I can't even like I said, it's just one of those things I can't even get into. But it was a great effort. You know, every bit on the same level as the previous match. To me, this lacked the drama, just from my feeling on Twitter, watching that. It didn't quite have the spectacle of the drama. It won't be as memorable to me, personally. I know a lot of people... But I do think that it will be remembered as a better all-around match, I feel like. And I thought it was helped tremendously by the surprise finish. Kenny Omega. Who would have predicted this? Kenny Omega wins the block here. The one-winged angel finally connects after tons and tons of wrestling between these two, and really strong wrestling. Naito, as I said, both of these guys, really. I expected very little from Omega. I thought I was so down on him coming into this tournament. I thought his Intercontinental title run really sucked. There's really no way around it. It feels like a lifetime ago now, but remember his ladder match versus Big Mike Elgin? Ugh. I hated that match so much. But in the confines of the G1, he's really proven his worth here. I was really surprised that they didn't have Naito win. I thought it made all the sense in the world. And especially considering what happened in the finals, it was even more surprising. But let's talk about the finals now. The final night, everything is set up, you know, was set up with the full card made and everything. The first two matches were your, you know, typical generic openers. Finlay Taguchi versus Tiger Mask and Liger. And Gato and Jado versus, you know, Cap New Japan and Yoshitatsu. They were what you expected. How far has Yoshitatsu fallen? You know, between teaming with Captain New Japan and getting buried by Cody Rhodes in an interview, it's just, you have to feel for this guy. But the first match that really stood out to me was, you know, GBH, Tomoaki Hanma, and Togi Makabe versus Yoshihashi and Tomohiro Ishii. This was a really strong tag match. Ishii and the loose one looked really great. I thought Hanma worked super hard. And this was a really cool match, I thought. In the end, Yoshihashi got a little bit of rehab from his disgraceful loss to Toru Yano. He hit Karma on Honma, got the win. This was a cool match. Twitter buzz was calling for Yoshihashi and Ishii to get a tag title shot, which I think would obviously be awesome from an in-ring standpoint, but I'll get into this later more on why I think we should slow our rolls a little bit on that. From there, we go to legitimately my favorite part of this show. Team New Japan. Manabu Nakanishi, Yuji Nagata, Hiroyoshi Tenzan, and Katsuyori Shibata. Taking on Masakita Miya, Maybach Taniguchi, Go Shiozaki, and Katsuhiko Nakajima, Team Noah. This was awesome. Man. Obviously, there was a whole match. First of all, I thought all the Noah guys looked really good. Maybach worked like his normal stuff, so that was great. Shiozaki had so great heel tendencies here. So many great heel tendencies. Nakajima, same. The often proclaimed on Twitter, New Japan Dads, showed up here, teaming with Shibata to continue their awesome storyline that we had here. At one point, Shibata hit just an amazing headbutt. And I know he saw this headbutt on Katsuhiko Nakajima, and Shibata busted himself open on a shoot headbutt, and I know that somewhere John Pollock was shaking his head at this. It was sick. In the end, Nakajima came back, though, and pinned Nakanishi with a brainbuster, and as soon as that happened, let the games begin, because an epic brawl took place. Shibata looked so incredible. He took, not to spoil myself for later, but I thought his G1 was super disappointing, and I think he feels a lot of that frustration as well. And he took it all out on Team Noah here. Just the interpromotional heat as well from the crowd. This felt like an angle from 2003. One of my favorite feuds of all time was the Noah and New Japan feud of 2003. Just the interpromotional heat that we saw back then was off the charts, and we saw a little bit of it here. I loved this so much. And this honestly, especially with the brawl afterwards, could have been my favorite thing on this whole show. I think a lot of people are wondering about Shibata going to Noah. I think it could be huge for all involved if they don't have any plans for Shibata right now. But I don't think he'll go for any sort of long-term time in the same vein as Suzuki-gun. But, you know, honestly, if he's not going to be a main focus, if he's just going to be never title level, they could do a lot worse than sending Shibata to Noah, in my opinion. He's the kind of guy I always thought Noah should go after it in this New Japan, you know, talent deal. Him, Goto, Ishii, all the heavy hitters, pretty much, they don't really use to their full potential. Because they could be something in Noah. They could be a big champion. They could be a main player. Shibata, Nakajima, and Go received the main focus, along with Nagata a bit in the background. And Go was an incredible heel in this match. I was really impressed with him. He seemed pretty motivated. They received the focus, but the problem with Go being a heel is, you know, the great thing about promotional heat is when guys are super behind their own company. Fans are super behind their own company. And they really hate the other company. The problem is, every company's fans hate Go right now. I don't care if it's a Noah, Fortune Dream, you know, wherever he goes, New Japan, wherever he goes, he gets booed. The fans do not like Go right now. But him and Shibata could be an awesome match. And I'm so interested to see where this goes. I pray that a full feud, and that's where a lot of this is teasing, is that it's some sort of full New Japan Noah feud coming. I really hope we get that, because that would make me really happy. Especially something else that was teased on the show that I'll get to in a second. Noah could be on the, you know, on the upswing coming soon. Anyway, after that, we saw the tag team title match happen, the Briscoes versus Hangman Page and Yujiro Takahashi. This was incredibly boring, I thought, especially coming after that epic angle. But at least Yujiro has his women again, so that was nice, that was nice. The Briscoes tried super hard, Mark bumped all over the place, Jay got busted open at one point. Yujiro even tried a little, you know, he looked pretty good. Paige really didn't do a whole lot for me, to be honest with you. And that's not a good sign when Yujiro is out wrestling you. Anyway, Dim Boys hit the Doomsday Device for the win. As it should be. So as I was saying, I mentioned earlier about Yoshihashi and Ishii getting a tag title shot, which was a big talking point on Twitter, which would be great because they're an awesome team. Goto and Yoshihashi, awesome team. Goto, Ishii, awesome team. Some variation of those guys should be the tag champions at some point. I've said this for months if you've been listening to this show. It seems like every episode I would say some variation of those three should be the tag team champions. excuse me. But I don't know if this is the right time to give a tag title shot for those two, because I don't know about the dynamic between those two and the Briscoes. I think they're both very similar in terms of being baby faces, and the dynamic would kind of put the Briscoes in the hole, because I think they would choose Yoshihashi and Ishii. And as I said before, I think Yoshihashi really deserves to test the waters of a singles push. And if the plan is to give these guys a tag title run, which I think would be awesome, but I'd like to see a real chase, you know, with these guys. I really think Evil and Sonata could be a great foil for those guys. I think they should be the ones to beat the Briscoes. They could get the titles, have a good little reign. Not a little reign, but a good reign. Solid reign. Have some good matches, because we know Evil's capable of that, and Sonata's looked pretty good too. And after they have a good reign, we could see the Loose Pit Bulls go for that big win down the line, which I would love. After that, we saw the Ring of Honor World Title match, and I guess it's no surprise, really, that ROH brings us the two most boring matches on the show, including its world title match. To be honest with you, and I'm just being totally honest with you, I barely remember anything about this match at all, except there were shenanigans at the end with Lethal. Tenzan hopped on the apron for a second, and Lethal won with a lethal injection. These ROH guys really mean nothing to the Japanese crowd, I feel like. And we talked about me and Strigadon in the last show, and I was saying that NWA still has a presence in Japan, and Ring of Honor really doesn't. I didn't really like this match at all. It's just totally unmemorable. After that, there were a couple of, you know, your typical multi-man style match. We had Kushida, Juice Robinson, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Mike Elgin taking on Bushi, Evil, Sanada, and Tetsuya Naito, all of the Ingobernables, you know, de Japón. And then we had a six-man tag with Marufuji, Yano, and Okada taking on Tanga Roa, Tama Tonga, and Bad Luck Fale. They were both pretty fine, you know, nothing. You don't have to go out of your way to watch them by any means, but it set up some things here. It set up future matches with Naito versus Elgin, Naito versus Tanahashi, Bushi versus Kushida, Okada versus Fale, and Okada versus Marufuji here. Naito was the most popular person of either of these two matches, and his fate at the Dome is going to be very interesting. I really thought a potential Noah versus New Japan feud got a great boost here in this match with Okada and Marufuji. There was a great moment after the match. Marufuji and Okada were standing off, and they basically set up a title match. They're going to have a title match one way or the other. Hopefully they run a full show of New Japan versus Noah, and that could be a great main event. They really need to run with this feud because it's awesome, super hot. A lot of people that don't know anything about Noah are probably interested in the company now more than they have been in forever. And anyway, Marufuji kind of signaled for a handshake, and Okada did an awesome thing here. Besides his two great matches, this was the best thing he did in the G1, when he faked like he was going to shake Marufuji's hand and just casually walked on by. Total diss from the Rainmaker here, and posed for the crowd on the turnbuckle, and Marufuji just sauntered off. Before I get to the main event here and the final, I want to talk about something that played during intermission here, and that drew all sorts of speculation on Twitter. There's this mysterious video that played during intermission, and it said, and I quote, "Time bomb will blow up soon." Now, this could be a lot of people, you know, in theory. To me, the person that struck out to me as obvious and what I still kind of expect, Minoru Suzuki and Suzuki-gun. Suzuki always talks about time bombs in his promos. Kanemaru, a member of Suzuki-gun's nickname, was the time bomb. It's been a while. It's been long enough. They stunk up Noah for a long time. I would love to know if this signifies the end of Suzuki-gun and Noah. I don't think it really adds anything to New Japan. Not for me. It adds absolutely nothing for me. Other than seeing KES, who I think are a nifty tag team. I've said before I actually like them better apart than together. I think they're both, Archer and Davey Boy are both better as singles than together. I don't know what it is. They just miss something to me as a tag team. But they would add something to the tag divisions. They're way better than pretty much than a lot of teams in New Japan, that's for sure. Suzuki, I don't really think is all that great. I actually think he's been pretty bad if you've watched Noah, and pretty much everyone agrees that has watched Noah. But he still has a lot of fans from New Japan that, you know, always think about the big matches he's had. So I think he would be popular among those fans. To me, he doesn't, you know, if he retired tomorrow, it would be fine. Let me remember Suzuki and UWF. That's what I want to remember. And teaming with Takayama. Oh my god, his team in 2004 with Takayama was incredible. He was awesome in that team. So good. And not even close to that now. I would love if Kamitachi would be the person to debut as a time bomb. I think that would be a great you know, re-debut for him. And it sets right up for a big Tokyo Dome main event, you know. I've heard that he wants to be a heavyweight, but he's so small, he may not really have that chance. And being the top junior could be cool, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And a kind of generational rivalry with Kushida, I think, would be great for both men. I think Kamitachi, he's literally one of my favorite wrestlers. On my first solo show, I used his theme song in CML as the opening that played over me a little bit at the start of the show. I love Kamitachi a lot, and I would love to have him back. But to me, it's going to be Suzuki. There's a lot of speculation talking about Ryback. To me, if they're bringing in Ryback, which is heavily rumored, they're not going to tease him for 83 days. You know? If he's going to come, he's going to come. And this is going to detonate. You know, it's going to blow up at Power Struggle in Osaka. That's in November. So whoever this is clearly going to be setting up some sort of, you know, match for the Tokyo Dome. The problem with Suzuki-gun is I'm not sure who exactly would be a great fit for them. The only person that I can think of Suzuki would be Shibata in this Noah feud. They could kind of take Noah's side. But I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. To me is a complete waste of Shibata. But, or they could do some sort of elimination match with Suzuki-gun. And things are crowded anyway with them, so I kind of hope for Kamitachi. I don't think it's going to be Ryback, but I expect Suzuki. That said, we can all speculate. There's going to be months to speculate about who the time bomb is. But there was no speculation for the G1 finals. This, much like the previous two night shows, had a ton of drama to it. And that was a selling point of this match in a lot of ways. But to me, I thought it was actually a very, very well-worked match on its own. Like, it stands as a legitimately great match to me. Before the match, we saw Mr. G1, Masahiro Chono. Masahiro Chono, when he was in WCW, on Sold Out. He took a break from the golf course to join commentary for this match. And it's always a big deal when he shows up, especially in G1. He just looked horrible, though. Like, what is with that sense of style you've got going on, man? Chono, you're the man. You're black. That's your deal. You know, you got to have bigger style than what you came up with here. It's not a good look, brother. So these two worked a really great story overall. Goto attacked Kenny's leg for a lot of this match. It played into Kenny's previous match with Naito. And the crowd was 100% behind Kenny at the start. But due to Goto's awesomeness, they got more and more into him as the match went along, and I thought that was great. There was all sorts of stuff happening, including, to me, one of my favorite in-ring spots of the year, just in terms of a move. This legitimately was insane, and I loved it. You have to see this. If you don't watch the finals, if you don't have World or whatever, just follow along on the podcast. I know there's some people that do that. Just go on Twitter, please find a GIF of this, or a GIF or whatever. The best way I can explain this is Goto ended up having a sleeper hold on Omega, and they were on the Omega was standing on the top rope, and Goto locked him in a sleeper hold. And this already, you know, this looked, you would expect him just to kind of, you know, bounce himself back on the top rope, and you know, Omega might elbow him off, and he might bump off the rope or something like that. But no, Omega dove backwards while in the sleeper hold. He fell back, but Omega flipped over, wore it. Goto landed on his back. Omega landed on his head. This looked like an absolutely devastating move here. I would have loved if Goto had won, this would have been the finish. This would have been a tremendous finish. Incredibly dangerous. And I just thought this was awesome. Omega kicked out of pretty much everything in Goto's arsenal here. And even at one point, kicking out of the Shoten Kai that Goto brought out for his big match. He hadn't been doing it a lot. He'd been using GTR as his finish. And people don't kick out of the Shoten Kai a lot, and Omega did here. The story of the match ended up coming down to something that a lot of people really got excited about. And this is where things started to get really overblown to a lot of Omega fans on Twitter. He started doing a bunch of his buddy's old moves. He tributed his old partner in DDT, his Golden Lovers partner. He used Ibushi's Last Ride powerbomb and then the Phoenix Splash. And then he went to the former Bullet Club leader's, playbook, hitting AJ Styles Clash and Prince Devitt's Bloody Sunday, which a lot of people worked out for. And you could tell that this match was all about Omega and his story here. I thought Goto actually did a really great job. He's going to get underrated, as always. He always gets underrated. But Goto did a tremendous job putting Kenny over here. And finally, Goto kicked out of all those moves. And, you know, just like Mega Man, Kenny's obviously a huge fan of Mega Man. Dr. Wily was his theme song in DDT. Kenny hit the one-winged angel for the surprising in the grand scheme of things, and I actually did think Goto was going to win here to set up Naito getting the briefcase. This was a really great match. Totally deserving final between both men. As I said, the crowd, you know, Goto really won the crowd over with his performance. Kenny worked hard, just an amazing 2 days for him. He must have been really, you know, really just over the moon. I have to say, though, okay, so after the match, Omega stood in the ring with all the Bullet Club buddies. They all stood there, lifted him up, waved the Bullet Club flag and all that stuff. He threw down the G1 flag, raised the Bullet Club flag, and cut this promo. And I didn't like this promo, this post-match promo of his. And I'm going to say right now. When you think about Ishii's win over Okada earlier in the tournament, Tanahashi and Okada's draw, well, just what an incredible moment that was. Yoshihashi's wife crying after he lost to Elgin, or Tenkozi's hug. Those were incredible moments to me and transcended entertainment in a way no other entertainment medium other than wrestling can. They were real. This could have been like that to me, and I know it because, and I know I'm right on this one because I saw it on Twitter. Everyone was so happy. So many people were so happy for him that he won, a lot of his fans. And he could have cut a great promo talking about how big this win was for him. How he, you know, how where he came from, how hard he worked. This is why he left DDT. To go to New Japan. He talked about DDT a bit. He shouted it about. Him talking about Orlando, healing on the fans. This to me eventually just became another one of his corny wrestling promos. And I'm not a big fan of his style of promo anyway. And he totally blew a chance to have a real moment in his career. And I'm sure this touched him in many ways. But I just think it could have been a lot better if he gave a real promo. This crowd totally bought him as a babyface. He was not a heel at all to this crowd. You know, he didn't have to do this. I don't understand why he did this. And it worries me that we're just going to go back to the same old Omega that we had before the G1. Because even in these last two matches, to be honest with you, especially in this match versus Naito, he still did a lot of... He just had a lot of cartoonish facial expressions that I hated. That stuff always takes me out of his matches, and he's the only one who does it. He's a terrible, terrible actor, in my opinion. To me, I will... Before I talk about the future of what this win means... I have to apologize to Omega for criticizing him, for starting all this stuff with the New Day, teasing wanting to be in NXT. At first glance and face value, this to me was like crazy stuff. And why was he doing this? New Japan must be really upset. But the reality is, teasing those things and giving, you know, obvious signs that he wanted to go to NXT, that probably directly tied into him getting this win. And there's no doubt in my mind that it will certainly directly tie into him getting a big bump in his paycheck at the end of the year when his contract expires. He specifically mentioned that he will not be going there, quote unquote, and that he wants to stay in Japan. That I would not necessarily put money on, as I said on Twitter. You know, if they come at him with a great offer that New Japan can't match, who knows? Especially if they end up taking the briefcase off of him, as some people expect. But regardless of whether he signs with WWE or New Japan, he's getting a big paycheck because it's obvious they want to keep him around. This is a huge sign for him, a big moment for him. The first ever Gaijin to win the G1, you know, the first ever foreigner. You have to give it up to him. He made history. The crowd totally bought into him here getting this win. And as I said, I still have some problems with him as a wrestler. I'm not as into him as a lot of people are. Because a lot of people just think he's the greatest. And he had a great tournament overall. I thought he had really outlived my expectations for him. But I just can't help but think back. When he was the junior heavyweight champion, that division died. It died a horrible death with him as champion. And they're just now starting to recover with Kushida and his great title reign. His junior title reign was awful. His intercontinental title reign was equally awful. I mentioned the ladder match with Elgin earlier. I think that took a lot away from both titles in terms of prestige, especially the IC title. I'm not completely on board with his push right now as a fan. I don't know if he's the right guy, you know, to win. And he's a former junior as well, but I don't think that plays as big a role. He's got to tone his facial expressions down, and if he goes right back to what we saw before, if we see the Young Bucks hiding in the ring for his world title matches, or under the ring, rather, and things of that nature, I'm not excited about that at all. If we see more of him just wrestle, and I really would like him to tone down his facial expressions because I think they're just really bad. But if we see more of that, I like it. I'm not going to go to what I think is going to happen or try fantasy book the Wrestle Kingdom card or the main event with him or who keeps the briefcase or where he goes. I want to hold that off until Strig is back because I want to talk to him about it. I want to get his take when he's watching all these things. As he said before, he's off having fun, you know, living a good life right now. I don't think he was able, like he said, I think that's still true. I did not see him on Twitter much, so I don't think he was able to watch these shows live. But I want to get his take on things before I talk about the future with him, with Omega. And so I think really the last thing to talk about when it comes to this G1 is where it ranks, you know. I don't want to rank all 26 tournaments, because that would take forever. But just in the Bushiroad era, I think this tournament was pretty underrated for much of it. A lot of odd complaints. I really enjoyed this throughout. I thought Block B was almost all good. Outside of Yano, I thought everyone either performed as I thought they would or exceeded expectations outside of one person. In the Bushiroad era, 2013 to now, I think, personally, this was clearly better than last year's and 2013. I enjoyed this a lot more. I thought this year had the most memorable moments of any of the four. Even 2014. But 2014 was a lot better to me in terms of in-ring pure wrestling. So, in terms of personal enjoyment, I still say 2014 was the best. But the last 3 days of this year's G1 Climax were an absolute blast to watch. I very much enjoyed this tournament. I always had. I just love that people were complaining about this, and then after the last 3 days, they had it as the greatest, you know, one of the greatest tournaments of all time. And this was a legitimately great tournament. I thought this featured the best booking and the best moments of any of the last four. And with that said, I'm going to end up saying my last thing on terms of wrestling, in terms of the wrestling here, in terms of the ProRes. Let's get to some awards here. Excuse me again. Let's talk about, I have some bad awards and then some good ones to talk about here. And I'm going to go down Block A and Block B real quick, just what I think about some of these things. And, you know, Dylan Harris, this is me. This is not Strigger. This is not MLW. This is purely what I think. And to me, let's kick it off with the worst performer in each block. And I went with Togi Makabe in Block A and Toru Yano in Block B. Yano was an easy pick. I'm done with Yano. Makabe actually was not terrible. It's not like he's someone who embarrassed himself or anything like that. But to me, like I said this last time, to me he was always average in all of his matches. And a lot of people liked his last match versus Ishii. But man, some of his punches are just, they're like Mar Fuji's kicks. They're a mile off. You know, you've got to stiffen those up a little bit. But he was not a bad performer, I don't think. I just thought he was very lackluster. Tama Tonga would have gotten this like after the first 2 days, but I really loved his tournament, how he progressively improved. For an in-tournament most improved, Tonga, to me, would get that award. And I think a lot of people gave him a bad rap after the first couple of days. And if you watched all of his matches, he got better each time and had some really good stuff by the end versus the likes of Goto and Sanada. The worst booked performer. In Black B, I went with Yano again. 10 points, absolutely ridiculous. There's no explanation that can satisfy me on why this happened. Beating Shibata, it gave Shibata, you know, reason not to win the block. But beating Yoshihashi made no sense to me. I didn't like him winning anything. And even any wins he got that played into, you know, booking purposes could have been given to someone else. In Block A, Tenzan, to me, I mentioned it already a bunch of times, he should have been booked stronger. Even if he's broken down, the fans are behind him. I can kind of understand seeing just how broken hit down he was, but he still wrestled all 10 matches, and the fans, or all 9 matches, and the fans were super behind him. This could have been a lot for Sanada. His last win. Most disappointing person to me. I went with Sanada, speaking of him, in Block A, and Katsuyori Shibata in Block B. Sanada had a great start to this. Beating Tanahashi in a great match, one of the best of the entire tournament, no doubt. But the thing with him is, afterwards, none of his performances really grabbed me. He had some good matches. He never looked bad. Really, nobody looked bad outside of Yano, like for the most part. Sanada, to me, just didn't stand out to me like I thought he would. And if you compare him to someone like his contemporaries, to me, which are Yoshihashi and Evil, I thought those two blew way by him by the end of this tournament in terms of just a pure performer. I've said it before, I don't think his gimmick helps him at all, and I won't reiterate that point, but his gimmick doesn't help him at all. Shibata, I really expected a lot more from. He had a lot of bad habits in this block that I thought. First of all, his matches that I expected a lot from really disappointed me almost all the way through. Nakajima was a good match, but I thought they left a lot on the table that, you know, for a rematch, which could be great. I thought by far his best performance was on the final night in that Noah angle. His match versus Naito, I love the finish, but the match itself, it still felt like they were holding back a little. And to me, his match with Yoshihashi was Yoshihashi's worst match of the entire tournament against Shibata, obviously besides Yano. And the match with Nagata, which I loved their match, in July at Dominion. But But in this tournament, Shibata, they worked the story, and this happened a couple of times where somebody would work on a body part, but particularly in the Nagata match, with Nagata working over his arm so hard, and what did Nagata do, or what did Shibata do, but just go right to that sleeper hold, no problem. You know, he tortured this arm and freaking worked out super hard during this match. Like, the arm work ended up being... I hate selling like this. I hate when it's blown off like this, because it makes the whole match mean nothing. His match against the Evil, again... you know, he didn't really sell that his shoulder was so messed up, and he was broken down, which I think was legitimate in a lot of ways. I think he was legitimately hurting. But it didn't come through in his matches, and I didn't like Shibata a lot in this tournament. That said, I thought he did good. But honestly, besides Yano, I don't think I'd rank him above any other person in Block B. He would be my second to last in Block B in terms of purely in-ring performance. That is a bit of a hot take, but that's just how I feel, guys. So, you know, forgive me. But he did redeem himself at the end of the show. I think he's in line to rock... You know, he was my MVP of New Japan going into the G1. He was my favorite person. I thought he did the most. He and Nagata were my favorite guys going into this tournament. I had super high hopes for him. He didn't win, obviously. I never expected him to win. But he looked good in terms of the booking. I didn't like his wrestling as much. I thought he missed a lot of things that I expected better from him. The most disappointing match of the tournament in each block, to me, was, as I said, Shibata versus Yoshihashi. I was so looking forward to this. Yoshihashi was on fire going into this. I thought, I still believed in Shibata, but it just did not come together. And Block A, obviously, Tanahashi versus Goto, that main event. In a great venue, the crowd was behind him, but it just did not work. It drug along and along. One of my favorite pairings in the company, and they just did not deliver for me. The worst match to me was the opening night match, Togi Makabe versus Tama Tonga in Block A. Tonga himself expressed disappointment in his opening matches, but I didn't think it was all his fault. I thought Makabe wasn't the best person to go against on your opening night. But as I said, Makabe was about good, or, you know, about average throughout the tournament, and Tonga got better and better, so I was happy to see that. My worst match in Block B had to be Yano versus Yoshihashi for all the reasons I said. I hated that so much, I can't even describe it. And now to some good awards. Let's get some positive vibes going. The most surprising, in a good way, wrestler to meet in Block A, Bad Luck Fale. And how proud must we have been as, you know, Striga. As I said, this show is in memory of you, wherever you are. And we were the first to get on the Bad Luck Fale train. And now everybody sees it. And I was so happy, but even to me, who thought he was kind of underrated even going into this tournament, I thought he exceeded all expectations and was a true bright spot for most of this tournament in Block A. Because there was a lot of times Block A was kind of dragging along, and he always provided good stuff. He's played his role super well. And I think he's still got a great future in this company, and he's always got a spot, especially if he keeps working the way he is now. Block B, Kenny Omega, the winner. As I said, I was not a fan of him at all going into this. I thought his ladder match was atrocious, and his whole act, to me, was among my least favorite in the company. But I knew that he could do better. I knew that he could work well at DDT. We've seen him in the Best of the Super Juniors have some good matches. But by the end of the tournament, he was one of my favorite guys in Block B, which was my favorite block. He really stepped up those last two nights. And despite what I think about him in the past, despite my concerns about him, despite not liking his facial expressions or his promos, there's no doubt in my mind he earned his spot. He proved his worth. And, you know, you cannot argue that he has a ton of talent. And a lot of people are fans of him for that reason. They're willing to overlook those things that I said. The most surprising result to me, in Block A, our boy, Tama Tonga, scoring his biggest win of his career over Tanahashi, sending him to 0-3, obviously playing into Tana's story, which I thought was well told. And to me, Yoshihashi again over Omega, the first night of Block B, I did not expect that at all. I expected nothing from Yoshihashi. Even though I hate that he lost to Yano, that was the only win I had for him in this tournament, was beating Yano. So I was so happy to see him beat Omega. So I cannot complain about his booking overall. I just thought that was so stupid. I'm sorry. I can't help myself talking about that stupid result. I hated this so much. But Yoshihashi over Omega was a great match, too. It really showed right away that Omega came to play. The best booked person, this is going to surprise a lot of people, in my opinion, especially Block A. Block B, I picked Katsuhiko Nakajima. He got a lot of strong wins, made a ton of new fans, was put in a position to shine all throughout the tour. I thought that Gato did a great job. I thought this was actually a really well-booked tournament up and down. There was a lot of candidates who I thought were booked very well. But Block A, the best-booked person, the world heavyweight champion, Kazuchika Okada, or Kazuchika Okada, depending on if you're more Ronaldo or not. I really enjoyed Okada's story arc here. It's been talked about by many that Okada basically sleptwalked through much of this tournament. And I don't like him that much anyway, to be honest with you. I don't think his tournament was significantly different from last year's. Including the fact that on his last block night, he had an incredible match, his best match. His matches against Ishii and Tanahashi, to me, were among the best of the tournament, so I can't take that away from him, but just in terms of, not in terms of performance, because I still think he was middle of the pack overall, but his booking, I loved his story arc of starting out so strong, but falling at the very end, starting to slip up based on this ace storyline. I think it added a ton of intrigue to his match, and the draw was, I thought, brilliantly done by both men. I thought this was well worked and well booked. It was the right thing. And as I said, I'll talk about more who I think his opponent will be and what storylines we have that play into that. I think his tournament was really well booked by the end. I couldn't care less about him at the start, and by the end, he was one of the main guys I cared about. So, you know, I'll never be invested in him as a wrestler the way a lot of people are, because I'm just, you know. But I thought he was very well booked in this tournament. I really liked his story arc of losing those two matches to Ishii and Fale back-to-back before heading into a draw with Tanahashi. The most underrated people in ring to me, Hiroki Goto, as well as Evil. To me, Goto will always get underrated. He's my favorite guy. I've said this a million times. I really loved his match versus Ishii, and his last two matches, I thought he had Tamatanga's best match in the tournament. I really liked really every one of his matches. Even against Fale, I thought he had a unique match versus Fale. It worked him like nobody else did. excuse me. Even against Makabe, I thought he had one of Makabe's best matches, too. Really, the only black point of his G1 was his match versus Tanahashi, which I didn't like. Evil rocks. I have to say it. I love him as a worker. He's totally won me over in this tournament. I still hate this stupid gimmick. To no end, I hate this gimmick to no end. I really wish Evil would drop this. I wish he wouldn't cosplay, you know, someone who shot for Halloween and got a laser glove and a plastic-looking scythe that is not intimidating in the slightest. I don't like him doing the chair spots over and over. I can't wait until he gets a normal, you know, he can just be Watanabe again and wrestle as himself, because I think he's a pretty sweet brawler and a great wrestler. I was so impressed by him in this tournament. He's not getting enough love with all the talk of Omega. Even Yoshihashi was more impressive in a lot of ways, and Naito obviously will always have a ton of fangirl loves and fanboy loves, but don't sleep on Evil. He was awesome in this tournament. Best moment. In A block, this was a no-brainer. Tenkozy's embrace after Tenzan's last G1 match. I'm going to remember that for a long time. Just seeing that was a huge moment. And I can't really explain anything else other than that. In block B, I thought the woman in the crowd crying over Yoshihashi's loss to Big Mike Elgin on night 12, I believe it was, I love that so much. This to me signified everything about, you know, Taco's G1. And just a great moment to see Ayumi and Tenzan's, you know, Tenkozy's embrace after the match was just a great moment. But Block B had a great moment too with that. Most outstanding. This to me, I'm going to separate most outstanding and MVP, just like they do in kind of, you know, real sports awards and stuff. Because to me, the best wrestler, you know, the guy who had all the best matches, isn't necessarily the one who kept my interest most throughout the tournament. The most outstanding wrestlers to me were Big Mike Elgin and Black B. I thought he was also very underrated by many. I think he had the most consistent G1 up and down. Every one of his matches were good to great. And for Block A, Stone Pitbull, Tomohiro Ishii, I thought, again, had my favorite match of the tournament versus Okada. His win was one of my favorite moments. That would be right up there. If it wasn't for the Tenkozy handshake, that would be right up there as my favorite moment. Big Mike, you know, just wrestled against everybody good, whether it be Nakajima. That was probably Nakajima's best match. Yoshihashi had a great match against Naito. He had one of his best matches against. Even Shibata, he had one of Shibata's best matches against. So he was awesome in this tournament all around. Big Mike, great job. And I'll admit that I wasn't a fan of his coming into G1 last year, but he is a great, great addition to this roster. He's someone I think needs a storyline, like I said earlier. I hope that they have a good program for him lined up. And that could be Naito, the way they teased it, but I don't think that would go long term. I hope when it comes time for Wrestle Kingdom, he's in the plans of somehow, some way. The MVP of the tournament to me, this is how I'm going to describe this. The person who had great matches, yes, but also who I was most interested in throughout, and someone who had great drama and made me care about them, the one I cared about most. To me, those two men, one of which was very hard in Block A because I was debating back and forth between Ishii and Hiroshi Tanahashi, who I ended up settling on. Block B was very easy to pick because Tanahashi, to me, had very nearly as many great matches as Ishii, but he was in it until the end. If Ishii was in it until the final day, he would be my MVP hands down. It's just by the end, his matches didn't mean as much. And Tanahashi had that great, great, you know, finish. Block B, Yoshihashi was my MVP. And I don't say that facetiously at all. To me, I was invested in every one of his matches. Every one of his matches, even after he got eliminated, meant something to me. Because it's almost kind of like seeing what they feel about him, what New Japan feels about him right now and in the near future. To me, just seeing everyone turn on him in a positive way and seeing the reactions, he was the most over person in B Block for a large portion of these shows. It wasn't Omega or Naito, it was him. So you have to give him respect for that. You have to see how talented he is coming out of this tournament. And I would love to see him and Ishii get a tag title shot. I kind of argued that earlier, but even if they faced the Briscoes at one, regardless of my problems with the dynamic, I would love to see him have a title around his right waist. I would love to see him get a singles push. I think there's so much upside with him right now that's untapped if they want to go for it. Just test the water with him. I'm not saying give him a title shot right away, have him face Okada, have a main event, a pay-per-view. But test the waters with this guy because he is lightning in a bottle right now. The crowd loves Yoshihashi. And I love Yoshihashi too. I'm all about Loose Explosion right now. Because Yoshihashi proved himself to be awesome, and it was one of my favorite things, seeing everyone, you know, do a 180 and praise him. So, that's about it for now. I talked about the G1 all the time of the last 3 days, and then the finals. And there's still a lot to talk about when Stricken gets back, which I'm really happy about, too. I can't wait for us to do a regular show. But before I go, I want to, you know, as always, I want to, you know, get a little personal with y'all, because we, you know, Striga especially, because he has a lot going on, you know, we busted tail doing all these shows. I'm honestly kind of sad to see the G1, you know, it's come and gone, and all of our, you know, so many updates are coming and going, too. We're going to get back to our regular schedule after this. And it makes me kind of sad, to be honest with you. You know, and I wanted to kind of keep it real with you guys for a second. And I'm glad that Striga isn't here, because it would be kind of awkward if I said all this with him still around. No offense, because he knows a lot about me. We've talked about personally, and he's a great friend. On top of that, he's not just a great co-host; he's a great friend for real and a great guy. So let me just kind of make this about myself for a second. I'm never one to sell myself short, if you haven't noticed. 2016 has been a real down year for me, personally, you know. And from the very start, everything that I had planned in my life kind of got turned on its head in January. If people follow me on Twitter, remember I took a brief hiatus for a month between January and February because no way around it. I was heartbroken, you know. And there's been a lot of times, especially before I came on the show, but even after, there was a lot of times where I didn't even feel like getting out of bed, you know, in the day. I felt like, you know, what happened, you know, just real sad stuff, you know. I won't get too dramatic on you. But I, you know, one of the favorite parts of my day, always, from the minute I came on the show, before the show, when I'm still friends with many people on Twitter that gave me a lot of love when I did take that hiatus briefly. And I won't get into the reasons behind that. Like I said, I just, you know. One of the favorite parts of my day is talking to you guys on Twitter and watching these G1 shows with you and watching this ProRes with you. All the interactions I have with you guys on Twitter and about the show. I love getting comments about the show and our reviews on iTunes. Keep those up. I'm not trying to plug, but I'm just saying it really means something to me to read that. Even when I read reviews about the show and see us always get thumbs up, even when we had our technological show, a lot of people still like that show. Technical difficulties and all that and all. And that made me so happy when that happened. It means so much to me. I know Striga feels the same way about that point, about it meaning so much to him. But for me especially, because he's off right now, because he's like a, you know, he has a normal life, you know, just like all you guys listening. You guys are always normal. And I was talking to a good brother on Twitter. I don't want to reveal who this is publicly, obviously, but, you know, that's his story to tell. But he was telling me on Twitter, he was saying how, even though I guess this was publicly, sorry, Kyle, sorry. He was telling me how he didn't like talking about wrestling he didn't know how to tell anybody he was a wrestling fan, you know, in terms of, like, girls and women's stuff. And obviously, being the hot-blooded young man I am, I have experience talking to women, and as I said, after I was heartbroken, I didn't know what to do. And so I tried to play the field and everything, but I noticed when I did this, I've said this before, but the first thing I would always bring up is how much I love wrestling and international wrestling, ProRes, Lucha Libre, and everything like that. That is a 100% shoot. I'm not even kidding. I know this may be hard to believe, and it's actually been very successful, I have to say. In many ways, a lot of people are psyched that I'm so confident in myself, but it's not just because I'm confident in myself. I've learned that if you make something seem cool, even if they don't really know about it or understand it, it'll seem cool to them, you know, if you have a date like that. But maybe you shouldn't follow my advice, considering my track record. But the real reason I always go there is because wrestling is the main thing in my life. That's all I know in a lot of ways. And sports as well. That's all I know. That's the closest thing to my heart. I don't know what I would do if I couldn't talk about wrestling or, you know, write about sports or write about wrestling, you know. And I love it so much, you know. I really love the show. I really love doing the show. I can't express that enough. And thank you so much to everybody who talked to me on Twitter, who supports this show in any way, me or the show. I want to shout out to some people in particular that kept me company through G1 and are, in a lot of ways, family to me, you know. I know that sounds a little dramatic, but for me it's true because ever since I've gotten these compliments, I've risen back up a little ways, you know. And I want to get that back, that feeling that I lost in January, that I lost. I want to get that back, and it inspired me. And you guys inspired me. I'm not even kidding. You know, with all your support. And, you know, you showed me that I can do it. And that, you know. So anyway, people on Twitter, shout out to my homegirl, Jessie. Everybody keep her and all the peeps in Louisiana and that area in your prayers. She was talking to me about 10 inches of rain down there, and she was one of the lucky ones, thank God. But keep those people in your thoughts. A lot of bad things going on there with the rain. Shout out to Becky for talking to me about Puro, as well as Ruby. I had a lot of fun. You know, you've been an awesome new friend to me. My main man, Morton, VH, hyping up Goto One Climax, baby. You know, we'll always support Goto, and that's great. And I love seeing that. The Goto train of fun continues to ride, even though he did not win the climax, which we obviously, especially me, was bummed out about. Kevin from Puro Central, sorry. Check out his website, as well as Joshi City. He held the Twitter contest where I won. I would like to brag for that. A sweet prize pack, including an Asuka mask to match my Asuka shirt I got. There was a person on Twitter who said Magnum Tokyo, my mentor, should be the time bomb. So I don't know who that was, but shout out to them. Isaac and Lawrence from the Puro and the Rough podcast doing so many awesome things on their own and being great brothers, you know. Sorry we couldn't have you on right now. One day we will do a super show. I would, if I have any say in it, which I don't. I only have a little say. Shout out to my main man, Striga, also, for being the best host in podcasting and truly one of the best dudes I know and making all this possible with this G1. He worked super hard, and I loved hosting the show with him. I can't wait until he's back and we're doing a regular show together. Shout out to Court, doing big things in MLW, as always, giving me so much leeway on this and my next project that I can't wait to get going, that you'll all know about soon. I have some new stuff coming for y'all, but I just have to say, I hope this show and this network never ends. You know, I've loved every minute of our G1 coverage, and make sure to check out Minus Striga's websites, ProWrestSpirit.net, PuroLove.com, plus CageMatch.net. Three awesome resources right there that me and Striga are intimately involved with. Check out MLW Radio, we got a lot of cool shows on there, besides just this one. There's constant updates on all our shows. Ric Flair's show. You know, it's funny, why would I need to plug these on their show? They're like, his show's way bigger than ours. But shout-outs to Rick, VIP Lounge with MVP and Greeny, the flagship show, Something to Wrestle With, the new podcast with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, and, of course, the Tiki Bar with our boy Tamatanga. So many more. As I said, thank you so much for everything you guys have done and helped me through this G1 especially, and made it an awesome time. Just an awesome time to be a fan, and I really just think you guys are sweet. I really hope you enjoyed the show. This is a solo show, as I said, a bit longer than last time, had a lot to cover. Hopefully I didn't overstay my welcome too much, but thanks a lot for listening. Hit me up on Twitter at Dylan0PS. I'll always talk to you. I love talking to you guys, as I said a bunch of times. And, you know, you guys really do give me that inner confidence, that inner strength, you know? And to me, sayonara, that's not the way to end this show, because it is the last G1 update in terms of regularly scheduled things. We'll obviously get into this more when Striga gets back, but, you know, sayonara, not the way to go. So, signing off, it's Dylan Harris. Remember, this was not the Eastern Lariat. It was the G1 Climax Final Special. Jamatine.